Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Joe Donahue. We talk real estate today on Vox Pop, and we welcome back Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. That number is 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. One way or the other, we would love to hear from you on this Tuesday afternoon. It is a great pleasure to welcome Alex Monticello back to Vox Pop. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back, Joe.
It's really nice to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here. So before we go to calls, let me just ask a very general question of how, if you had to give a state of the market report at the moment, how are things?
Well, it's a great time to sell your house. It's a challenge. It's still a challenging time to buy a house.
Okay.
We have a lack of inventory. Demand is still outstripping supply nationally as well as locally. Prices continue to rise. Interest rates are, you know, people remind you it's a 25-year high, not an all-time high, but it's still a significant move.
Yeah.
You know, it appears as if home prices don't appear to be abating and they continue to rise. The national latest numbers just came out today. Nationally, prices rose 4%. Median home price nationally is $426,000. Locally in the Capital Region, we're about $100,000 below that, but still rising.
When you say we're $100,000, have we always been in that ballpark?
Yeah.
Like lower than the average?
You know, I don't know for sure. I think so. Generally, the Capital Region housing market has been below the national averages in terms of price.
So the idea of when a house, when somebody contacts you and say, I'm interested in putting my house up in the market, that turnaround time now is like really quick, right?
Yeah. So great question. You know, generally, you know, in our market, so if you think about the median sale price in our market is $320,000, roughly.
Yep.
So homes around that median sale price, which are appealing to first-time home buyers, as well as people who may be downsizing, there's a large segment of buyers there competing for that house. Those houses move very quickly. And it depends a little bit on area, condition, updates, et cetera. But yes, homes that are priced right and presented well can move in a matter of hours.
One more question before we go to the phone calls, and we welcome you to join us for those phone calls. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 as we talk real estate on Vox Pop this afternoon. What are the hot areas in this region?
You know, basically everywhere, right? Because there's not enough homes to sell.
So they live anywhere.
So, you know, people are going anywhere they can to find a home. And, you know, I think part of it is a function of, well, now with post-COVID, there are more people working from home.
Yep.
You know, and that's demonstrated by the fact that we see people from outside the area, right, who are you know, moving up here, and they don't have any tie to any particular area. They're really looking at the house, the layout, the location, and the lot.
Let's go to phone calls. We begin with David in New Paltz. Again, we welcome yours, 1-800-348-2551, as we discuss real estate. Dave, go ahead.
Hi, Joe. Wonderful show. I want to ask your experts on real estate, the new law set up by the Supreme Court about the commissions that real estate dealers and brokers get nowadays. I know it used to be a percentage of the sale. How has it changed?
Well, it sounds complicated.
Yeah, great question, David. So just a couple clarifying points. This new settlement that's going into effect takes effect August 17th. This is a settlement between Department of Justice, plaintiff's attorneys, and the National Association of Realtors and several other brokerages. This hasn't made it to the Supreme Court, but all those parties that I mentioned are in agreement that changes will be taking place. The changes are not all that different than what's happening right now. So right now, commissions are completely negotiable. If you're looking to sell your home, you don't need a real estate agent to sell your home. You can go to Zillow or other websites to list it for sale. You can do it by owner. You can hire a flat fee brokerage, or you can hire a full service brokerage. But the important point of the settlement is that everybody needs to understand that commissions are completely negotiable. Now, on the buyer side, likewise, they are negotiable. For many years, buyer's agents have relied on the fact that they could count on getting a commission if their buyer goes under contract on a property that's listed in the MLS. That will be changing, and no longer will listing agents be able to display or share the commission that they're willing to offer a buyer's agent in that MLS database. And some people believe that some sellers may adjust what they're willing to offer a buyer's agent. All this is taking place on August 17th. I think the biggest impact it will have, and some people have reported this, is that first-time home buyers or home buyers will end up paying a commission, a buyer agent commission, that up until this point they have been able to avoid.
Let me ask you a variation of the question, yes. Which is, how does it make your life hell?
Well, as a broker and an owner of a company with 20 agents, I have to, the challenge for me is I have to make sure that everybody is using the right forms and complying with the settlement.
It all comes down to the forms.
And administratively, it's challenging. From a practice point of view, direct client work, it actually just forces us to have a conversation with every buyer now that we were able to kind of avoid. Yeah. And that is a conversation with the buyer to explain how a buyer's agent gets paid and earns a commission, and the fact that the buyer themselves may be responsible for that commission as part of the process.
David, did that answer your question?
It sounds very complicated. Yes. I guess we'll find out on the 17th.
Yeah. More to come, David. More to come. Go ahead.
Yes. No, David, just to be very direct, though, so there are no set commissions, right? Commissions are completely negotiable. That's always been the case. That will be the case after August 17th. So if you're buying a home, you can interview three different buyer's agents, and you can decide if you want to pay them and hire them, right? If you're selling a home, you can interview three or as many agents as you want, and they may have different commissions, and you can decide if you want to pay those or not.
All right.
Okay. I thank you very much.
David, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. We go to Lucian now before a break. We go to Lucian in Pittsfield. Go, Lucian.
Yes, I'm noticing a lot of hedge funds and corporate interests buying up not only farmland, but single and double properties. This can't be a good thing for the market. What's your opinion?
Well, I think there's a structural issue in our housing market, which is there are not enough homes. And they're not keeping pace with population. The CEO of Zillow 10 years ago pointed this out. We are behind in terms of it, millions of units of housing were short. And to your point, the more people that are competing and buying up homes, the more likely prices will continue to rise, and the more likely home buying will become less and less affordable, especially for first-time home buyers or people who, may be renting and maybe trying to make that move. So I think it's a very significant problem that you've identified.
Why? Thank you.
I've sold.
Go ahead, Lucian.
I sold two houses a few years ago. I didn't know what I sold them to at the time. But then I found out that it was one of these corporate interests. And they tore one of the houses down and left the other vacant. This house was a perfectly livable house. This can't be good for the market. And the town that I live in used to have 50,000 people in it, and it doesn't anymore. Mm-hmm. So that whole, there's got to be some kind of market manipulation driving up costs.
Well, this gets to the other side of the coin, which is affordable housing and housing development and planning, right? Which is a really challenging issue.
All that good stuff. Lucian, thank you very much for the telephone call. Time for break, and also time for you to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Alex Monticello is our guest of Monticello Real Estate. We are talking about real estate on Vox Pop this afternoon, and we welcome you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-34-TALK-1. We will continue our conversation with Alex and your calls after this short break. Good afternoon. I'm on my roundtable schedule. I apologize. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Vox Pop and to our wonderful guest, Alex Monticello, talking about real estate. And we thank you. We welcome you. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We've been talking about the market, and there's more people out there who want to buy than who are selling. Why is that? Is it more people? I mean, I'd love. Here's how I'd love to think about it, which is people are just happy in their homes and they don't want to move.
That's a big part of it, Joe. And they're happy because, well, I don't know what the statistics are, but a significant percentage of homeowners, right, have locked in interest rates below 4%. And so that's an impediment to moving.
Right.
I mean, I'm one of them. I bought my home 10 years ago. We've talked about moving, but it's going to be a significant increase in not only the price because of price appreciation, but also just the financing charges on that new home are going to be significantly more than what we're paying. And so a lot of people like me who maybe 10 years ago bought a home, didn't have kids, now have some kids, they're figuring out how to retrofit their home or make adjustments within their home rather than take on the very expensive task of purchasing a new home and securing a new mortgage at these higher rates.
When it comes to that securing the mortgage and realizing where it is that you want to go, I mean, I know this is obvious, but I'm just going to say it anyway. I mean, you know, you think, oh, I'd love to sell my house. I could probably get a really great price for it. But then I have to find a place to live.
That's right. It's a great time to sell. It's a terrible time to buy. And the reason why is there's the lack of inventory. And so we have that conversation all the time with people who are thinking about selling their home and buying a new one because it is very challenging.
And the reasons, and we'll go back to calls here in just a second, we welcome yours, 1-800-348-2551. And the reason most of them give is that they're moving, they want something better, they want something bigger, they want something different.
So, you know, typically in a normal market, right, there's a churn of move-up buyers, right? Those are people selling
right.
their first home and moving to a larger home.
Yeah.
That churn over the last few years has been frozen. And so, yes, the people who are typically selling right now, the large percentage of people are either people who have passed, they are people who are moving out of the area, or people who are getting divorced. They're making up a larger percentage of people selling their homes because the other buyers have decided they're going to stay put. The other challenge now is as people talk about interest rates and speculate what Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve will do with interest rates, as we get closer to this idea of interest rates, the Federal Reserve potentially cutting and rates falling, I think that also creates a bit of an artificial freeze because people naturally who are thinking about buying, right, and stepping up are going to wait in anticipation for falling rates.
Let's go back to the phones. We go to Jay in Pittsfield. Hello, Jay.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can. You're booming in. What's up?
Great. So I heard the question about interest rates, about commissions that was raised earlier.
Yes.
I understood that the standard commission, prior to this lawsuit and this settlement, was pretty 6%.
No.
And the buyer's agent and the seller's agent were paid out.
All
right, finish the question, and then I think we'll have a revision, and then we'll go to the answer. But go ahead.
Okay. So this lawsuit was an antitrust suit against the real estate brokers, as I understood it. And I thought it was fair to assume that in the wake of the settlement, that buyers and sellers would be in a market where real estate commissions would likely drop. But I don't know, and I'd like to hear your take on that.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I think the assumption is, and there's a, first off, nobody has a crystal ball. We don't know exactly how this is going to play out. But I think what we can say is there are no set commissions. They are completely negotiable, and they vary from market to market, region to region, and even the price of the home. Second of all, I think what we know about the settlement is the settlement is going to shift in some ways the commissions that typically were paid by the seller. It's going to shift some of that to the buyer's plate. And so to answer your question, yes, commissions may go down for sellers, but they are probably going to go up for buyers. Because right now in markets and what has been practice and part of the antitrust issue is that sellers were charged a commission, and then the real estate agent would turn around, list the home on the MLS, and offer a percentage of that commission they were charging the seller to the buyer's agent. And the buyer's agent was being paid by the listing agent. That is now going to change. And so you're absolutely right. Sellers likely will be paying less commission, and buyers will be paying more.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Jay. We appreciate it. We go now to John in Scotia. John, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. One of your teams sold my house just about 1 year ago today over in near the Sockandaga.
Did you want them to?
They did a great job.
Okay, oh, thanks.
Yeah. absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it was some of the things that you're talking about, the seller's commission, and I thought it was more of a set where it was 5% or a specific percentage. I understood it to be set. Maybe that's just my poor understanding at the time. But there are some things that the agent did that I wouldn't have thought of during a sale that I got to give kudos to your team. One of them would be when we're talking about we're in an inflated market right now. House values may not come out appraised as well for the bank as what the offers are. They brought this up, and something that we were concerned about, they put a stipulation into acceptance of the offer that the buyer owns it, irrespective of what it comes back as an appraisal before
yes.
we accepted the offer.
Yes.
So that was definitely an appreciated effort. And the second one was that instead of the standard $1,500 per item that, let's say, owner's responsibility for repairs that come out of the inspection, they raised it to $5,000 per item. And of course, the buyer accepted that too, and I was happy to say that. So within 4.5 hours of your team putting it on the market, we had competitive bids. They were automatic escalation. It went well over our asking price, and we closed in a little under 5 weeks. So kudos to your team.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I don't know if there was a question in there. It didn't sound like one, but it was a nice endorsement.
Thank you.
Very nice. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll go with that. I was just thinking that we have a brand new CEO in the building today, and we're having a very sexy conversation about real estate commissions. That is going to be our future. Yeah. Yes. So if you have a you know, like, really good real estate story, please, now's the time. Spring it on us. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Flipping, is that still a thing?
Yes, although it's getting harder, right?
Yeah.
Because lots of people have, because of the rapid appreciation in home values, people are more aware of what their home is worth, so they're less willing to sell it to a flipper for below market value.
Right.
And second of all, there's been a lot more competition for those homes, and so it's harder for flippers to get the best price. I've spoken with a few agents. I don't do flipping work, but it's gotten much more competitive, for sure. I think I often tell people, flips are risky, right? There's bigger gains there involved, but also a lot bigger risks, because sometimes you're buying a home that you don't know everything that could be wrong with it, right? You're having to make some quick decisions in a competitive market.
So when you say you don't do flipping work, how do you know then that is the, I mean, obviously if they tell you that's their intention, but if they just buy the house, then you wouldn't know, right?
Oh, well, so I, what I meant to say is I don't personally buy homes and flip them.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
And
gotcha.
Most of the people that I'm working with are homeowners who are selling their home or home buyers who are looking to occupy the home. I do work with a small subset of investors, but you would know based on the quality of the home and the condition that you're looking at, right? And having the conversation with the buyer, this home needs a lot of work. Do you have the ability to do that? That would be part of our process.
Are any of those HGTV shows on in your house?
They are not. I have Bluey on in my house because I have a couple little kids.
Yeah.
And Wildcrats. But
my thoughts on you just increased fivefold. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just always a thing, right? They're always trying to find the new thing for the person, then they give them a choice, and it seems to me that is setting an expectation for a buyer that may not really exist out in the world.
You're absolutely right. Can I tell you something? I was on one of those shows once.
All right. Which one?
It's called My First Home on TLC. It was about 10 years ago.
All right.
But what I can tell you about that process is it wasn't real. So what happened was is
reality TV isn't real.
That's right.
Joe. Come on,
we're gonna,
Alex.
We're gonna. So what happened was the buyers, the people that we filmed as buyers were clients of mine who had purchased the home a year ago.
Okay.
And we went back. They had been living in their home for a year. But we went back and recreated the experience, and even, you know, as part of filming, they had to rearrange their home to look like it wasn't their home when they go back and see it. So I learned a lot in those 7 days of filming, and I'll never do it again.
Yeah, we're so near the end of civilization as we know it. All right, let's go to Jennifer in Half Moon. Jennifer, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling in. I'm a former broker. Now I'm actually a public school teacher. I love WAMC, and I love Vox Pop.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say that it sounds like that court case is going to be helpful for brokers, because I know for a long time, brokers sit at the closing table and everyone looks to the broker to make the deal out of basically what they've earned. And so that's a very tough situation. And I think it sounds a lot fairer to have the buyers, the sellers and the buyers split the commission. And I appreciated the last caller that complimented the brokers, because the brokers really do make the deal, but we shouldn't have to throw our income out on the table to have it close.
Jennifer, thank you very much for the telephone call. We appreciate it. Take one more here before I believe we will have to go to a break.
Hello.
Marta is from Poughkeepsie. Hello, Marta. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Donahue. Thrilled to speak to you live. You have a lot of fans in this area, including in this household.
You're very sweet.
Anyways, what I wanted to say is that the short-term rental situation has wreaked havoc in our sad little city, and there's tons of unhoused people all around my neighborhood. And I know it's not just because of short-term rentals, but that hasn't helped because rent, you can make in a weekend what you used to get like in a month. And so all these people are put out and they have nowhere to go. And I want to warn people who sell their houses for fabulous money that they might not ever be able to buy another home they can afford to live in. Because I know that happened to somebody in Woodstock, beautiful home they sold, and they couldn't find anything to replace it. And they begged the people who bought it to sell it back to them, and they wouldn't. You know, so I wanted to mention that. Also, where I live, the house that I live in was built in 1862 when Abraham Lincoln was in office. And right next to us is a very small vacant parking lot that some mysterious LLC wants to put a four-story, 20-unit building in that is just going to wreak havoc in my life and in my neighborhood. And I wanted to talk about that because that word regentrification is wreaking havoc for so many people who can't afford to live. And it's not for the unhoused, and it's not for poor people, and it sure does have no consideration for us in this neighborhood. Thanks for letting me ask all these comments and questions.
No problem. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, well, I think that epitomizes the challenge, right? There's a lack of housing, and then the flip side is, at the same time, there's a lot of debate over where that housing should go and where do we construct it.
Yeah.
So I think it's a challenge.
And does that get into a zoning thing, Marta, or...
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've already been to the Zoning Board of Appeals once because they tried to sneak it by, and then they had to adjourn because the proper mailing did not get to the property loan owners around the parking lot, so they had to adjourn it. But you notice the next one, which is on August 13th here in the city of Poughkeepsie, everybody who hasn't gone on vacation yet, they will be out of town. And who can blame them in this horrible heat? And they're asking for all kinds of variances, like not enough parking because it's so tiny, they can't even fit hardly any of the required 29 spaces. So they say they can park out in the street. We already can't park. There's so many problems with parking here. And then they say, oh, we don't need the required recreational space because we're going to put it on the roof, a roof terrace towering over this antique neighborhood. It's just such an assault. And meanwhile, I have to run around all over the place alerting the neighbors, and everyone I've talked to is horrified. And they're like, oh, get used to it. Guess what? Our property values just keep going up and up. And guess what? So do our taxes, because that has to reflect the new assessed value. That, to me, feels like we're just being sold down the river. And I'd like to mention, I do read the print press called Poughkeepsie Journal, and I read that 50% of the rental housing in this country is now owned by corporations. What is going on? A homelessness situation, big time, and no protection. Where's the rent control?
All good questions, Marta. We'll be thinking of you. And your property is in Poughkeepsie, right? That's where you're...
The one I live in is in the city of Poughkeepsie, right in the heart of the city of Poughkeepsie.
1862.
There's a Civil War statue right there. Oh, my God.
Thanks for taking the call, good luck. Thank you very much. We'll be thinking of you. All right. We welcome your phone calls, 1-800-348-2551. And as you say, that epitomizes what's going on. I mean, it's a really good example. You have limited property, and then when this comes above, you go, okay, well, let's build something big there.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. I mean, we saw it in Albany. You know, there can be some real opposition to construction of new buildings or apartment buildings.
And this also gets to, and I don't know, you know, this is, I'm doing my public radio thing now, but as far as planning, of actually planning, neighborhood planning, and what you want your neighborhood to be, and what you want that, and what you want your city to be, and city planning, what you want your rural area to be. And if you're, you know, Marty used the term sell them down the river. Well, yeah, kind of, right? I mean, because you're putting it aside and saying, this is more important than what you've got going here.
Right. I mean, I think... You know, I think like most government decisions, right, there's always a give and a take, and there's always, you know, there's always a little bit of back and forth, and it's a challenge, right? And I think there's never easy answers.
Alex Monticello is our guest on Vox Pop this afternoon. We are talking real estate. You can talk about real estate to your heart's content if you call us 1-800-348-2551. I may shut you up eventually, but I'll let you go on for a little while. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Ed Rosen is taking your calls. Zach Malloy at the board. Alex Monticello right across the rounded table from me. We'll be right back with your calls, 1-800-348-2551. One third of this program is left, and we have some phone calls, and we have lines open for you, 1-800-348-2551, as we discuss real estate on Vox Pop this afternoon. Alex Monticello of Monticello Real Estate in the Capital Region joins us, and we do welcome you, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Let's go to Lisa now in New Paltz. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We purchased some land up in the Finger Lakes area, and we subdivided because it was 30 acres and we're going to build a house, but we didn't need all 30. So we took a couple, we did a 2-acre lot and a 6-acre lot, you know, that seemed to work nicely. But my question is, it doesn't seem to be very popular. Most of the things that are selling up there seem to be open fields and meadows. And these lots have a fair amount of trees, large trees, like some are 80 foot. Do you have any, I know you're in Albany, maybe you don't do a lot of rural land, but any thoughts on should us as sellers try to clear some of those trees? What do people look for in this kind of market for building lots?
Yeah, great question, Lisa. Is it on the market now or you're thinking of selling? Okay.
So, no, it's on the market. It's been on.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are certainly a segment of buyers who do appreciate, you know, nice wooded lots, but there's other considerations besides the trees. It's going to be, you know, I'm assuming they would need to drill a well and install a septic, right? And then power, bringing in power, is there, you know, power at the road, bringing in natural gas line. So I think the utilities also can play a pretty key role in a buyer's decision to determine, you know, how they want to utilize the lot and whether it's a viable option for a home.
Yes. That makes sense. We do have, the utilities are at the road, and they're nice quiet roads, close access to the city of Ithaca, which is about 10 miles, so it's a nice thing, but it just doesn't seem to be moving. I'm just wondering if maybe it's just too wooded, too much work for someone to, you know, buy it and take on, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't know if that is the case, right? And I think other thing would be to rely on your realtor to solicit feedback from people who maybe have seen it. Or
that's a good idea.
You know, to figure out what is the reason, what's preventing them from making an offer. What is the limitation?
Yeah.
I mean, it could also just be price, right? Perhaps the price is a little bit out of line with the market.
Yeah, we think it was originally, and then we dropped it way down.
Okay.
And so now I think it's much closer to what people are buying. But they seem to, what I've seen people buying is mostly, and that there are a lot of places that are fields there because it is a farm, you know, it's a lot of open area, and it's actually kind of nice to have trees because.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So anyway, I just thought there might be some sense of that. And I will check in with that realtor and see, you know, what people have said, you know.
Lisa,
I've heard like one guy said, oh, yeah, it's the top of my list, you know, and then you don't hear anything back, you know.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. I will just say good luck to the trees. hopefully they make it through this. I'm just assuming that most people, if they see a wooded lot, they would assume that they, if they wanted to, they could take them down.
Right. Yeah. It would be a factor that they would consider. And if they're going to build their own home, I think removing some trees for the purpose of the construction of a home wouldn't prevent them from making that purchase.
Sam is in Northampton. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hey there. How's it going?
Well,
I just have a quick I just have a quick question. I'm trying to get an an average commission that a house seller would have to pay a broker in this area, or is that usually a negotiable figure?
Yeah, so it's completely negotiable, and that is the central premise of the antitrust, right? So there are no averages. There are no set commissions. They're completely negotiable. And remember, Sam, you don't even need to hire a real estate agent to sell your home. I'll probably be one of the few real estate agents that will tell you that. But you can go to Zillow and do it by owner. There are flat fee companies out there. You can pay for $500 or something less to hire them. So you don't even need to pay a commission to necessarily sell your home.
But I thought there was a real lot of legal paperwork involved with that.
With
also.
What? With selling a home?
With selling a home, yeah.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of components to selling a home, and it's there's many facets, right, to what a real estate agent or many facets to the job. And so the reason to hire a real estate agent might be to help you through that process, provide you good guidance, advice, assistance, marketing. But you don't necessarily need one, right, to sell a home. You could also hire an attorney if you have legal questions to answer those legal questions.
All
sure.
Right. Sam, good
All
luck
right.
to
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I mean, that's sort of one of those questions like, what do I tip? You know, I mean, it's what is the commission? And also, he's calling from Northampton. That may be very different than here in the capital
yeah,
region.
And, you know, if you call a plumber, there are some plumbers who, you know, might do the job, repair your leaky sink for $45. There might be some plumbers who are going to charge you $600, right?
Right.
So, I mean, attorneys are another good example. There are some attorneys who have lower hourly rates than others. So there is no set amount. Based on people's time and the cost of living, you know, there may be commissions that are more likely to come up again, but it's really important that everybody understands, and this was the central premise of the settlement, is that there are no set commissions and they're completely negotiable.
Let's go to Daniel, who is in Albany. Hello, Daniel.
Good evening, afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, my question is two-part. I'm a commercial realtor and a federal banker, and different parts of the country have different strengths with inventory or lack of, so it becomes a buyer's market and a seller's market in different areas. So I noticed that in regards to, especially commercial, I do a lot of commercial development with investors and builders. Isn't there such a thing as a sliding scale where the amount of monies, if you're in the millions for development, that's negotiable within the parties, like a mediary advisory kind of a thing where somebody comes in to settle the terms and where both parties are happy with the end result? And it's not so much a set fee, but more of a sliding scale fee because of the prices, the values of the property itself between the buyer and the seller.
That could be you could do it any way you want, Daniel. So it all depends on what is the agreement or the contract that you're signing with the seller when the seller engages you to sell their property. Or what is the contract that the buyer is signing with you when they engage you to help them purchase a property. That contract at the time of engagement of services is what's going to lay out how the commission is calculated, whether it's a flat fee, sliding scale,
right,
or set percentage.
Right. Okay. So my second part, or the two-part, one-part, whatever, is the scenario of different parts of the country have buyer's remorse or seller's remorse because it's in New York, obviously $500,000 buys you nothing. And then in Florida, it's oversaturated and there's 500 now is worth 300 because the market's just there's nobody out there buying or there's too much inventory, and it's reversed in New York. I find that as a problem, and being a homeowner in Florida, and I own a home in New York, so I'm trying to sell mine in Florida. I think the rates are going to change, and it's going to predicate that they might get more buying power for the interest rate. But as one of your callers mentioned, and your show is fabulous, by the way, and hitting the head where it needs to be hit with different points of interest, that you basically, you're going to get what you give. But if you buy high or sell high, you're going to have to buy high in this that market. But down in Florida, when I bought it 10 years ago, I stole it, and now I'm trying to sell it and make a little sincere profit. But it doesn't matter because the market – I took my Florida real estate license, and one of the test questions was, what makes the market? You know what the answer was? People. If you don't have a job, if you don't have income, you can't afford an interest rate, no matter if they're giving it away.
Yeah, and I'll also say insurance. We haven't talked at all about homeowners insurance, but
no,
it's a real
issue.
No,
you're absolutely right about that. You're right about that.
It's I think that's starting to play into people's decisions and home prices. And there's been
one of your callers mentioned assessment, reassessment, and that obviously, assessment and appraisal are two different animals to begin with. But the point is, that's a good marker to realize that, like if there's damage, and then they have the market's going up, or they want to change the value of the property, then they're going to reassess it. And if you try to grieve it to get your practices lowered, there's all kinds of caveats that in being a commercial I've seen over the years where basically a lot of loopholes for people to kind of get through if you know what you're doing. If you don't, you're kind of at the mercy of being directed by hopefully the gentleman who the company am I speaking to, Monticello, I guess, is you guys obviously got good rapport with people and you have a great kudos with your clients. So that's bless you for that, because I've been through the ringer with a lot of brokers. But the point is, I understand the insides and the guts of what's going on because I've been in it so long. And I'm just happy that it kind of goes to a cyclical thing. It goes up and down. You got to play the market. You know that, right? When you just hold off or wait. And as you alluded to, people locked in years ago at a lower interest rate, they don't want to get rid of that. They're improving their homes. It's external obsolescence, which means things start falling apart. But if you fix them, you got them where you can keep it, and you got the rate good, unless you really want to move for one reason or another. I just think you have to be happy in your own skin or wherever you are, and make your plans with the adjustments of the laws and things that change, like this lawsuit.
I wonder what it's like to be happy in your own skin. Huh. Daniel, thank you very much for the telephone call. Good luck.
I work on it every day, Joe.
Yeah,
I
know.
On it every day.
That seems very aspirational. Inspirational and aspirational. All good stuff. When you think of this, the term real estate, and then we've had commercial brokers and different people you put yourself on, and it is it's a very wide ranging field, and it can be hard. And I think the last caller at least did point out that, markets are really different, and you sort of have to get a sense of that, I guess, when you're marching into one.
Yeah, and I think there can be large variation even within even within the same city or the same town, right? Based on walkability,
right.
Based on proximity to a rail trail, right? Or the view, or proximity to a water or a park, it can change a lot. So, that's the benefit of hiring an expert if you're not familiar with the area to help you kind of walk you through that process.
And an expert meaning somebody who knows the area, somebody who can tell you what's going on and who's been there, I assume, for a while, that has some sense of what the nooks and crannies and the ups and downs are.
Yeah, I think it's helpful. I mean, part of what a real estate agent should do if they're helping you buy is educate you about the neighborhood and the schools, what they like about it, what they may like to see improved about it, as well as the market, right? And where they think home prices are going, whether now is a good time to buy or is a better time to wait. That's a question we get a lot.
Connie writes to us and says, when I'm choosing an area, especially with that inventory being low, I'm worried about schools.
Well, that's a common question that we get a lot. I think what I will say is I live in the city of Albany. Two of my kids go to Albany schools. I think the best thing that you can do is talk to parents who send their kids to the schools, because sometimes the ratings on paper don't tell the full story.
Yeah.
Schools, different publications come out with rankings, but I don't think they always explain the full picture.
Right. And sometimes you just don't know how long it's going to take the kid to get to school or what district you're in or all that stuff.
Right, right, right. Right. And, you know, yeah, certain different districts have certain strengths based on the needs of your child, for sure.
Right. And then you have to find a house in that market.
Then you got to find it. So, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, I mean, some people are actually, they originally started with the idea of a specific school district, but they've ended up broadening it because of the challenges they face in finding a home.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you very much for doing it. What did we get you out of today?
You didn't get me out of anything. I was just happy to be here.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. So, like, tomorrow, just a normal day, right?
Yeah, tomorrow's just a normal day.
All right. Well, good stuff. Alex Monticello, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure. Folks can find out about you and about your work by going to MonticelloNYS.com. MonticelloNYS.com. Alex Monticello, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you
great
for
pleasure.
Having me.
Underwriting support for Vox Pop comes from Ambrose Electric, standby power and electrical contractor providing sales, service, and installation of residential and commercial generic automatic standby generators, serving the greater Capital Region for over 40 years. AmbroseLEC.com. Asia Barong Gallery, Great Barrington campus includes Asian Sculpture Park, Furniture Showroom, and Ethnographic Art Gallery, China, Japan, Korea, India, Southeast Asia, asiabarong.com, and Chesterwood, the Gilded Age home and studio of sculptor Daniel Chester French in Stockbridge, presenting musicians from Close Encounters with Music's High Peaks Festival. July 28th at 3, chesterwood.org. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls answered by Ed Rosen. I'm Joe Donahue. Tomorrow it's astronomy with Bob Berman and Dr. Valerie Rapson. See you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned now for more me, the book show.